Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I have the pleasure of being joined by Neil Pennington, who is Director of UK Innovation at RWE NPower. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Andrew.
Thanks very much for joining us. Great for us to catch up and hear how things are going at NPower. First of all, could you give us a brief description about yourself, please, and about NPower RWE?
Yeah, so RWE is a large German company which has about 23 million customers across Northern Europe. It owns companies in the UK, the Netherlands, across Germany, and then towards the east in the Czech Republic, Poland, and Hungary. NPower is the UK subsidiary of about 3.5 million customers, focused in the energy retail sector. RWE, in terms of my role, RWE has identified the need to respond to the significant change that's happening within the energy market globally, with a focus on disruptive innovation and looking to be the leaders of the future energy system. My team is very much a part of the Innovation Hub and is a UK outpost for RWE. RWE has a number of outposts. It has one in Silicon Valley. It has Tel Aviv. It has a relationship with an incubator in the Berlin outpost. And in the UK, we are a fundamental part of RWE's innovation thrust.
Great. And so what sort of key technologies and new business models are you seeing the opportunities or threats for your business?
We see competition coming in from a number of areas. I mean, effectively, we think the change that's coming in from within the energy system is being driven by people, that people are having highly personalized experiences across a whole range of different retail sectors, and that their expectations of what they get from energy are changing significantly. So as well as new entrants and competition from incumbent energy providers, we see competition coming in from everything from, you know, entertainment providers such as Sky, digital healthcare, and security. So a lot of that technology is really about providing services and benefits using connected technology in the energy market.
Okay, and one example is you're working with Nest, which is now part of Google, and a key partner for RWE. Could you describe a bit of the relationship you've got there and how it was launched?
Yeah, so the partnership, we are the European energy partner for Nest. It was launched in July 2014 launched in the UK and Netherlands. And within that, we, as an energy partner, we agree to, offer Nest learning thermostats as part of an energy bundle into the UK and the Dutch markets. As well as trying new features and developing new features across other channels, such as sort of boiler propositions and other related maintenance contracts on a trial basis. Where we are now is we're building on that partnership to negotiate a much more of a strategic approach, moving to being much more embedded in the move towards kind of full service provision into the future.
All right, great. Okay, so the type of venturing you're doing is very much a partnership sort of type approach. In your area, you're not doing direct investments. So could you describe a bit more about how your venture partnering works with Nest or other organizations? You're working with other incubators and things like that.
Yeah, so in terms of the partnership with Nest, yes, that's initially that's very much a partnership to go to market together, and it may well change into the future. We didn't set up our innovation activity with a view to be going heavily in the venturing space, but we are at the moment setting up a corporate venturing activity within our innovation hub across RWE, and we have invested in a couple of companies so far. One is Easy Optimize, which is a piece of software that optimizes energy efficiency within the home, particularly the output of distributed generation of solar panels. And we have invested in Bidgely, which is a data and analytics company out of the US. And increasingly, you may see us making some investments, small investments, in companies that are of strategic importance. But we are very much about recognizing that, in the past, energy utilities very, very much took a view that they had to manufacture, own, distribute, and install everything themselves. And we think that model is changing, and it needs to change. And, taking a partnership approach with companies that we're working with, such as Yale, Nest, D-Link, and various others, is to recognize that, and Bidgely, is to recognize that, to deliver the best and most innovative services to customers on an ongoing basis, you need to have a rich and best-in-class set of capabilities in your ecosystem, and that doesn't come with just doing it all yourselves. And I guess the second thing that we've done, which has been announced recently, is we have signed an agreement with Innovation Birmingham for an initial 3 years to work with them as an incubator in the Internet of Things and intelligent energy, to start bringing forward and stimulating various startups to help us in our mission of being there within the future energy system.
Great. So you can see you've got a rich ecosystem, and that there are partners at the moment. Which partners do you find are the most effective that you're building relationships? Or maybe it's a bit harsh to say which are the most of it, but which bits of learning and which bits have been successful so far?
Well, it's early days. Certainly Nest is a very positive route forward. We have companies such as Geo. We're doing a demonstration of a pilot within the area of an intelligent home, in which we're partnering with the likes of Yale, Assar Abloy. So, the signs are pretty good, and we're learning a lot as we go forward.
Great. And, I've worked with you and your people on that over the years, and people are so central to making corporate venturing so successful. Could you introduce sort of some of the team members, just in terms of numbers of people you've got, their locations, what's the skill mix and that they tend to have?
Sure. I suppose at the RWE level, dedicated to innovations, there's around 100 practitioners across Europe. Within my team, I have about 18 people. Some of them are kind of Npower people. Some of them, about half of them are, contractors. There are some sort of innovation all-rounders where we're trying to develop people as good innovation managers, and then we have some technical expertise. So, I have somebody who is focusing on technology. I have somebody focusing on external partnerships. I have somebody focusing on the development of the innovation culture and the methods and approaches to innovation. So a good mix, I think, of people who fit into that innovation bracket.
Yeah. Great. And I've been following your YouTube channel, where you've been showing what you're doing to get the team together and redoing your office. Could you give us a bit of a description for that, please, for the readers and the listeners? I think that's a really interesting approach for bringing your team together.
Yeah. So, it was stimulated by one of the people I brought into the team, who's had the experience of building what they called future centers, and spaces where you can, stimulate, create the environment to stimulate innovation. And there's a very, very wide range of approaches that you can take. You know, you can spend millions on putting in a lot of technology. And we went over to the Netherlands and saw one such space, which was like space age. It was amazing. And, but, you know, that's not for us. So we managed to get a floor in a bit of an unloved building in Solihull, which we are now calling the first floor. And, you know, all the evidence suggests that if you create the right environment, you can get people to think and act differently. And so we, you know, we've, you know, we've got a room in which is dedicated to, you know, clarifying problems. We have a room dedicated to coming up with ideas. We have an area where you go in and it's a kind of an action room and, you know, open spaces to be able to collaborate, very significantly. Now, you know, we took quite an alternative approach where we were told by, you know, the powers that be in our organization that that kind of thing would take 6 months and about £500,000 to do using traditional routes. But with the backing of the chief exec, we said we'd do it in 50 days for less than 50 grand and that we would very much use some of our own, you know, use it as an innovation project in itself and involve the team in terms of designing and making it happen. And so we've been working weekends, we've been wallpapering, we've been building things and, you know, with a lot of our own steam and learning a lot about each other as we do it. And, you know, we achieved it in less than 50 days. We did it in 43 days and, you know, significantly below the 50,000 threshold. So it's been very exciting.
Yeah, no, I've been enjoyed watching it on the YouTube channel. Look forward to sort of seeing it in person. That's been great. So, in terms of the new technology, you touched on earlier about some new business models, new technologies and stuff like that. What I'm sort of describing at the moment is what I term innovative new value chains in bringing new technologies together and new business models. Can you give us some insights on the key challenges you see on these new technologies and new business models into current core businesses, into yours? What sort of challenges do you see?
Well, so I think the challenges are, there is that balance between whether, you know, a core business can sufficiently see far ahead into the future to be able to consider doing things that actually potentially affect their existing business. You know, the old idea about, you know, people will come and disrupt you, so you may as well disrupt yourself. And so there is a cultural challenge there, I think, without a doubt. I think in terms of, you know, bringing new partnerships, as you said, you touched on it earlier, but I think some of the issues to get over are, you know, whether, you know, the people that you collaborate with are likely to be your competitors into the future and how you manage that. The ownership of intellectual property across multiple players within a partnership is an interesting challenge to deal with commercially. Trust, customer trust, the new business model you put together with partners is actually trusted with customers from end to end. And increasingly, I think the final one is really about the issue of data. I mean, we all know that. I think that the future is very technologically and data enabled, and actually, if you are in a position where you need to ensure that you treat customer data with integrity, then you need to make sure that each part of that actual chain does the same, so that there's no breach of confidentiality or misuse of that data as it goes from end to end. And you know, that's quite a significant data security is quite a significant thing to really get your head around when you're entering this new world of ours.
Excellent. Okay, those are great challenges. I'm sure people are going to learn from for their particular areas. So how do you measure your financial and strategic performance?
And that's a very relevant one because, you know, we constantly come up against, you know, sitting as a unit that is very close to an existing business where, you know, people have a whole host of KPIs and spider diagrams and, you know, try to measure everything that moves. Whereas in innovation, you need to have a small number of KPIs that really help, you with clock speed as opposed to, you know, looking in a rearview mirror all the time. And, You know, I typify at the moment as, KPIs around speed. Are you getting these things fast through the cycle? Spend clearly, which is around, are you literally spending what you said you'd spend in order to get there? And, success. And success, I mean, is around, at each part of the stage. So, success, I mean, in terms of revenue, a target. So, right at the beginning, when you're looking at an opportunity space, you're probably looking at large numbers with, probabilities of success. And then as you proof of concept and where to go, then you're starting to prove, what percentage of success you're really going to go after. And then, obviously as you launch, it's all around, rapid growth. So speed, spend and success is the mantra I'm using at the moment.
Oh, great. Good three S's there to remember. So could you describe a couple of the projects you're currently doing then in those sort of contexts?
Yes. So we're doing an intelligent home proof of concept in the Solihull area. We decided that we wanted to make it geographically bounded because we would be able to see how people react to kind of gamification in a community. And we are bringing together a number of technologies to see how people adopt the use cases. So initially it's put the platform in place with some camera monitoring, internal security. Then the next stage will be to introduce the Yale smart lock, and then the final stage will be to introduce the Nest learning thermostat. Now what we're trying to do is it is all about consumer behavior and appetite. It is not about the particular brand of technology. It's to try and understand the business model at which we may move from partners. And the other key part of that is learning what it is like to go forward with three or four partners all stitched together in a group and learn what it's like to work there and in that environment and what kind of commercials are required when you're completely interdependent. We have other a rapid prototype going on in the area of wireless power and charging stations in business premises. And we have a number of potential proofs of concept, energy advice, where we are looking at sort of the disaggregation of demand in the home and seeing how we can bring, services based on data forward, but they're all in the prototyping stage and they're being done very quickly.
Good. All right, great. Thanks for all those illustrations and insights into the business. I know you're very busy, often running these ventures and spending your time between the UK and Germany and the US. When do you get time to relax, and what do you do when you're doing that, Neil? Venturing.
I don't relax.
Don't be shy. You play a bit of music, don't you?
Yeah. So I read a lot. I play the guitar, write songs. So that's my main passion. I'm be creative, and I also occasionally go to the gym.
Good, Neil. Thanks very much for giving us your insights on that on your innovation role within RWE and Empire.
Great. Thank you.